Suppose the conversation is a job interview, and suppose the applicant is a black man. He's going to pick up on that uncertainty and distance, and that may well make him a little less certain of himself, a little less confident, and a little less friendly. And what will you think then? You may well get a gut feeling that the applicant doesn't really have what it takes, or maybe that he is a bit standoffish, or maybe that he doesn't really want the job. What this unconscious first impression will do, in other words, is throw the interview hopelessly off course. Or what if the person you are interviewing is tall? I'm sure that on a conscious level, we don't think that we treat tall people any differently from how we treat short people. But there's plenty of evidence to suggest that height, particularly in men, does trigger a certain set of very positive unconscious associations. I polled about half of the companies on the Fortune 500 list, the list of the largest corporations in the United States, asking each company questions about its CEO. Overwhelmingly, the heads of big companies are, as I'm sure comes as no surprise to anyone, white men, which undoubtedly reflects some kind of implicit bias. But they are also almost all tall. In my sample, I found that on average, male CEOs were just a shade under 6 feet tall. Given that the average American male is 5'9", that means that CEOs as a group have about 3 inches on the rest of their sex. But this statistic actually understates the matter. In the U.S. population, about 14.5% of all men are 6 feet or taller. Among CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, that number is 58%. Even more striking, in the general American population, 3.9% of adult men are 6'2" or taller. Among my CEO sample, almost a third were 6'2" or taller. The lack of women or minorities among the top executive ranks at least has a plausible explanation. For years, for a number of reasons having to do with discrimination and cultural patterns, there simply weren't a lot of women and minorities entering the management ranks of American corporations. So, today, when boards of directors look for people with the necessary experience to be candidates for top positions, they can argue somewhat plausibly that there aren't a lot of women and minorities in the executive pipeline. But this is not true of short people. It is possible to staff a large company entirely with white males, but it is not possible to staff a large company without short people. There simply aren't enough tall people to go around. Yet few of those short people ever make it into the executive suite. Of the tens of millions of American men below 5'6", a grand total of 10 in my sample have reached the level of CEO, which says that being short is probably as much of a handicap to corporate success as being a woman or an African American. The grand exception to all of these trends is American Express CEO Kenneth Chenault, who is both on the short side, 5'9", and black. He must be a remarkable man to have overcome 2 Warren Harding errors. Is this a deliberate prejudice? Of course not. No one ever says dismissively of a potential CEO candidate that he's too short. This is quite clearly the kind of unconscious bias that the IAT picks up on. Most of us, in ways that we are not entirely aware of, automatically associate leadership ability with imposing physical stature. We have a sense of what a leader is supposed to look like, and that stereotype is so powerful that when someone fits it, we simply become blind to other considerations. And this isn't confined to the executive suite. Not long ago, researchers who analyzed the data from 4 large research studies that had followed thousands of people from birth to adulthood calculated that when corrected for such variables as age and gender and height, an inch of height is worth $789 a year in salary. That means that a person who is 6 feet tall, but otherwise identical to someone who is 5'5", will make on average $5,525 more per year. As Timothy Judge, one of the authors of the Height Salary Study, points out, if you take this over the course of a 30-year career and compound it, we're talking about a tall person enjoying literally hundreds of thousands of dollars of earnings advantage. Have you ever wondered why so many mediocre people find their ways into positions of authority in companies and organizations? It's because when it comes to even the most important positions, our selection decisions are a good deal less rational than we think. We see a tall person and we swoon.